Hey there, She's Mark podcast family. I've got something special for all the gatekeepers and nurturers out there who love filling their homes with faith and rest. I'd like to introduce you to the Marked Store, your go-to destination for soul-strengthening, Christ-centered gifts and goods for the godly woman, her home, and her littles. Listen, ladies, home is where the rest is. And my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart where the Spirit of God dwells and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, the Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead, head over to the Marked Store today at www.markedstore.com. That's M-R-K-D store. And start filling your life with faith, love, and rest. Feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. We are more than halfway through the 5 and 5. And just to remind you all, the 5 and 5 is an annual series that starts in January, where listeners can expect 5 episodes in 5 days. And these episodes are meant to supercharge you into your new year while officially reflecting on and closing out the year before. So today we are back with episode 49 in the 5 and 5 series. And tomorrow, Friday, January 10th will be the last and final day of the 5 and 5 for this year. Now, I want to go ahead and kind of just give you an idea of what we're going to be covering today. I am going to be just washing you over in the word with hope, hope, hope. I ask that you pardon my voice. I am battling the sniffles and the cooties and all the things that you can imagine. So I really apologize that I have to be in your ear sounding so nasally and congested, but we are going to power forward with consistency and we're going to get this word today. So as I mentioned before, I'm going to be super pumping you
with hope. And this is not a type of warm, fuzzy, feel good just for the sake of feel good. But this hope is based on the truth of God's word. And one thing that I appreciate the most about God's word and the truth of his word is that it is infallible. It cannot fail. It may be a matter of time, but it will never fail. Everything that he has set in motion, everything that he has spoken is guaranteed and sure to come to pass in his perfect timing. And so it was a normal day for me where I was listening to some encouraging and uplifting podcasts and just some financial literacy things and coaching things. And the speaker that I was listening to, he said something regarding being proficient. He was kind of talking about the fact that we can spend a lot of time trying to learn new skills rather than focusing on the skills we already have. And that creates this sort of tension and frustration because we struggle to get good at things that we don't know, but we don't take the time to nurture and fan the flames of the things that are already good. Or we're not naturally inclined to sharpen the saw that we already have as opposed to trying to go and get a whole new saw. And so I just thought of the words proficiency, like learning to become proficient in something. And I was trying to brainstorm what would come next in this 5 and 5 series. And I had some former notes, but then it just started to come together. And I said, wow, a lot of times when we view ourselves, especially through the lens of the suffering that we have walked through, all we see is the deficit. All we see are the ashes that are left after the fire. And we tend to frown upon those things because we're ashamed of them. We tend to feel like spoiled goods, like there's nothing good that can come from that situation. And I was just reminded in that moment of the vast scope of God's power. I was reminded that his ways literally are not our ways. And as we've already talked about seeing him deliver his people in scripture, we also see something else that while many times those very people found themselves right back in captivity, the Lord was always there waiting to restore them again. And when he restored them, he gave them double. It was multiplied. And so I thought, wow, if we could just get to a place of giving and bringing our deficiencies before the Lord, there is a proficiency that is birthed from our deficiencies when we give them to him. When we see a deficiency, we just see the lack. We don't think that anything good can come from those scraps. But God can take the deficiency when we give it to him, and he can make the deficiency birth proficiency and efficiency. So what do these words mean? I'm glad you asked. Deficiency is defined as a lack or shortage, insufficiency, a fault or weakness in something or somebody that makes it or them less successful. Now, proficiency, or to be proficient, means competent or skilled in doing or using something. It can also mean accomplished, seasoned, competent, gifted, brilliant, excellent. Proficiency can also refer to a highly developed skill in or knowledge of something. Great skill, ability, and experience. And lastly, efficiency means the state or quality of being efficient. Organization, order, regulation, productivity, ability, skill. The quality of achieving the largest amount of useful work using as little energy, fuel, effort as possible without wasting time or energy. And I thought, wow. If you have ever struggled when you look back on your past or maybe in your current story right now, and you feel as though so many years have been wasted, that there is more wasted than there is what you perceive to be left. Or you say, wow, I can never get those moments back. I can never get that time back. I can never get that part of me back. All is useless. We serve a God of multiplication, acceleration, and impossibility. When we reflect again on how God moved in scripture, in the Old Testament, we even look at Jesus in the New Testament, we see where God worked with very little resources. In fact, when he began to reveal in bits and pieces what he wanted his called ones, his chosen ones to do, it would make them tremble because it didn't make sense. He would choose an army of just 300 men to fight tens of thousands of men. The Lord Jesus made food for thousands of people from a few loaves of bread and some fish. The math didn't make sense. The math wasn't mathing at all. And so we see where God constantly took what was deemed insufficient, deficient, a lack, not enough, and he multiplied it in a way in which only he could, and in a way in which only he could receive the glory from it. So I want you to stop now and reflect on the things that you think are losses. Gather all what you believe to be your failures, your weaknesses, flaws, setbacks, inabilities, where you used to simply cry, grumble, give in and give up, become angry, compare, isolate, go mute, go numb. Places where you used to just simply ask God why and try to escape. Begin to collect every bad crop that came from that and bring them to the Lord's storehouse. Bring the sacrifice of praise. Bring the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we're going to do this in an act of faith. You're not doing it because what you have been through or the losses that you've suffered or the grief that you've experienced is good, but we're doing it because He is good. We cannot do anything about the situation in and of ourselves, but we know a mighty God who can. How do we know this? Because He has told us and shown us and revealed it to us in and through His word. And now before we close today, I want to wash you all with the word. These are scriptures that talk about God, the restorer, and they remind us that our suffering is not in vain, that He will turn it for our good, that He will take the years of deficiency and loss and make us proficient in it. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason, even though I suffer as I do, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day." 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore you, secure you, strengthen you, and establish you." Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose." And here are some scriptures, my dear sister, about the God who restores. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "But I will restore your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because they call you an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares." Isaiah 61:7 says, "Instead of shame, my people will have a double portion, and instead of humiliation, they will rejoice in their share, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs." Isaiah 58:12 says, "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will restore the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the breach, restorer of the streets of dwelling." And lastly, Psalm 126 verses 5 through 6 says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing a trail of seed, will surely return with shouts of joy, carrying sheaves of grain." My dear sister, the Lord God, the living God, is a God of restoration. He can be the restorer of the breach and the breaches that maybe you've experienced in 2024. He is the God who restores. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would reveal the precious oil that You want to produce from all the pressing that we have and maybe are enduring in life. The pressure can weigh in, but it can also sober us. It can rid us of self-dependency and self-sufficiency. It can force us to call on Your name, Lord Jesus. It can strengthen our faith and rid us of trust in man in a misdirected and idolatrous way. It can challenge us to authentically love and forgive. It can set our sights on eternity because this world truly is not our home. It can reveal our true wants, our true desires. It can expose fear and other hidden things within us. It can also give us unending prayer points and catapult us into intercession and becoming houses of prayer. What is the good that can come of this? Lord, besides you simply solving the problem or keeping us from it, how can all the deficiency produce proficiency and efficiency in your daughters? Thank you, Lord, that you work in the wrong, in the things about life that are wrong. You show up in those places and you work. You don't miss a shift. Life's blunders and blows aren't enough to make you discouraged or want to quit. You cannot be trumped. Your slowness is deliberate because you aren't willing that anyone perish, and you want and desire for us to learn and grow and be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, when all we see are the winds and the waves and we forget that you are right there in the ship with us. Give us strength to take another step, strength to hold on, strength to press forward, strength to be eternally minded, that we know that our pain is not in vain and that something good will come of this. I thank you that we can cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. Amen. Dear listener, your support means everything. And without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.